Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Chip Haley and Kay Malmquist, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Another exciting edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Kay Malmquist.
Kay, I can't tell you how excited I am. The two individuals that we're going to be interviewing today, I'm really looking forward to it.
Two more people that I've never met, and this is going to be a really fun interview, I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
We're sorry we don't know you.
That's okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you just didn't recognize that voice, today Kay and I are going to be interviewing Ronnie and Phyllis Zirkle. Yes, indeed. It's really going to be great. So welcome to Meet the People of MCB, Ronnie and Phyllis.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you what. I tell you what, we're going to start with you, Phyllis. Why don't you share a lot of us, you know, from the past know you, but why don't you share with some of our listeners who may be new to MCB, share with us about your vision loss?
I was working as a secretary in a high school, and I went to file some papers. That's what it was. I just now remembered. I looked down to see the name. Well, I saw the name, and then I looked for the file. I went back to get the information, and I did not see a name. And I thought, well, that's funny. I just saw it. And I couldn't figure out what was wrong. So I tried several different things. And one time I would see it, and then 2 minutes later, I couldn't see anything. So I made an appointment at a specialist to have them check, you know, my eyes. And anyhow, they said that it showed that I had a tumor on the brain and that they could not tell me if I wanted to leave it or have it removed, that it was a kind of tumor that 99%, of course, they have to do that. 99% of the time is benign, but it was decision. Well, Ronnie said, of course, he would not help me in that because that was strictly, you know, up to me what I wanted to do. Naturally, like anyone, I envisioned if it's gone, I'll be able to see. So I told them since they thought it would be benign, that I would go ahead for the surgery. Okay, so it was not, I think just a few months after that, that I left my job and went to the hospital. And I went ahead and told them to do the surgery. And they put me in rehab. And so, The morning that they were taking off the bandages, naturally they took off the bandage of the blind eye first. And when they did, I said, I can't see anything. And they said, well, that's just one eye. And I said, oh, but if I can't see out of one. And they said, no, wait until we take the bandage off of your second eye. So when they took it off of the second eye, I saw a light. So they were shining a bright light, you know, on me, and that's what I was seeing. And I said, I see light. And they said, oh, that's great. It means you've got something. So they gave me tests and said that I had a 20/60 vision in my left eye, but that's all I had. And then the right eye was completely gone, because during surgery, I hemorrhaged. And when I hemorrhaged, they couldn't find the doctor. And I know Ronnie, of course, raised Cain naturally, as any you know, family would do. And so by the time that he got there, they said that he had to, of course, open my head back up. And when he did, he accidentally cut the optic nerve to my right eye. So I lost all the vision in the right eye. So, like I said, I went to a specialist and he told me, well, within a year, you might get your vision back. And I said, oh, really? He said, because you have vision in one eye. Well, nothing seemed to get better. So I decided there was a specialist in Kansas City I had heard so much about, and that was Sabatier's Eye Clinic. And so I called them to get an appointment to have them check me out, since he seemed to think, you know, I had possibility. So I went, they took me in down at North Kansas City Hospital, and Ronnie took me there. And the doctor ran tests, and he said, I cannot believe that a specialist told you you could gain any sight back, because he said the doctor had cut the optic nerve to my right eye, and I would never see out of it again, because there was nothing there. And I am fortunate enough that I've kept my eye, and no one can tell it by looking at me that I can't see out of it. So, and I have 20/60 vision out of my left eye. So anyway, that I was glad I went to Sabatier's, because they helped me out. And since then, I've had a cataract even, and I couldn't tell that, of course, because I didn't have much color to go by with the one eye. But Sabatier's did the operation for the
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I appreciate you sharing that with us. Yeah.
Yes. And anyway, he said I had 20/60 vision left in my left eye, and that's all I have.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm sure our listeners appreciate hearing that from you. So thank you. So Ronnie, tell us now, where are you two at right now at the moment? Where are you all staying?
We're in Living Community, St. Joseph, Missouri.
Okay. And how long have you guys been in that facility?
Too long.
Okay.
I can't tell you.
Yeah.
I think since 93.
Okay.
Probably coming on 1 year.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now, in case you just mentioned that you guys are in St. Joe, you guys have always been there, right? Lived in St. Joe, around the St. Joe area.
No, we're an area. We lived 15 miles east of St. Joe in the country called Stewartsville.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
We had a little 26-acre farm out there.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And
we decided we wanted to get out of the city, and since I couldn't see and people come to the door, you know, we lived on a busy street, and we had what they called a hood house across the road from us, and so there was drug traffic there all the time, and so we were just a little leery of staying there, plus our neighbors had dogs that barked in the middle of the night, and would wake us up. Anyhow, we found the farm and decided to move out there. And we rented our field to a neighbor to run his cattle and bale the hay out of it.
Okay.
Which is nice to get to see what I could see.
Sure. Ronnie, you mentioned to me yesterday when I called that you had broken your back. How did that happen?
Well, the family claim that I fell three different times, but they tell me that I have cracked vertebrae.
Mm. Okay.
It's not broken, they're just cracked, but I still can't walk.
Yeah.
You know.
And how long ago did that happen? Do you remember?
It'll be 3 years, I think, in December.
Okay.
That's when it started.
Okay.
Wow.
I fell on the ice.
Yeah. I remember somebody telling me about that. Yeah.
And then.
Yes, and I didn't hear him.
Yeah.
He laid out there for too long.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right. I'm going to turn it over to Kay here, but I do have one last question before I do that. So let me ask both of you, and you either one want to, whichever one of you want to take, go first. But so do you have family? Do you have brothers, sisters, children, or?
Go ahead, Phyllis.
Okay, I do not have any brothers and sisters, but Ronnie and I had three children, two boys and a girl, and our daughter's been taking care of keeping us straight on all of our doctor's appointments and make sure at least one of them can go with us when we go. We have transportation here at Community Living, and they're very good. The drivers really take good care of us and strap us in. They have those little minivans, and they have a hoist that they have to put Ronnie in a special wheelchair, and then they strap us in the vans, and really, the drivers are very, very good. They keep real good track, because Ronnie almost fell out of one time, and the driver was right there and was able to get him strapped in where he was doing fine.
Okay.
So
yeah.
We really have good help there with the vans.
Yeah, yeah. Ronnie, is there anything you would like to add?
No, but I think she's got the year wrong.
Okay.
When she had her operation. I think it was 73.
Oh, 73, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and the doctor that cut the optic nerve, he left town. I don't know whether the hospital fired him or what, but he's no longer here.
Okay. Wow. Yep. All right, Kay, you got some questions? I know from what Phyllis has shared, there's a couple of things I know you could certainly identify with, but go ahead.
Right. Well, we do have the three children, two boys and a daughter, and each one of them had two sons. We have six grandsons.
Okay.
Wow.
Biggest part of them, well, they're older now, you know, and biggest part of them are over 6 foot tall.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And they are great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. And they all got their families too going.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we have three great grandchildren.
Well, good
boy,
for you guys.
Yeah.
Two little boys and a little girl.
We finally got a little girl. We hadn't had a little girl since our daughter was born.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
Well, that is neat. So, Ronnie, can you tell us about your, I don't know. So as far as your blindness is concerned, how did that come about? And then did you go to the school for the blind, or was that later on, or what happened there?
You talking to me?
Yep, Ronnie, yep.
No, I'm not blind.
Okay. Oh, well, see, now I didn't know that.
I'm sighted.
There you go. See, I told you guys I didn't know these guys, and that's cool. All right. So now, what about your family? What size family do you have?
Well, I had two brothers. They're both gone.
Mm-hmm.
They drank and spoke too much,
especially
the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to the first wife of the deceased and the second wife of the deceased. We're still in touch with them.
That's
nice
good.
People.
Yeah.
And they have children and grandchildren. And one of their grandchildren is a lieutenant, and he's over in Okinawa.
Wow.
And he'll be there for 2 years, and they're going to have a baby soon.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. I think they said it was going to be a little girl. You know how they run that sonogram.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I didn't want to know.
Well, we didn't either.
No.
Nope. Wanted to remain a mystery.
Ronnie knew what they were before they were born anyway, he said. So, and he did. He called them all but the third one. The third one was kind of a surprise because I was having some problems, and the doctor seemed to think I was just going through the change of life, and then he found out after a few months that I was pregnant. Not
you were really going through a change of life.
Yeah, I did. I did. It was terrible.
Yeah.
He's a little guy, too.
That's awesome.
He's really
But each one of them had
us.
Two sons, if you can believe that.
Yep. So,
that's great.
Ronnie, what is your work history like? And then how did you meet Phyllis?
Well, she ought to tell you that one.
But
anyway, I started out sacking groceries for a outfit called Safeway.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from a sack boy to head meat cutter. I went all through the grocery line and then the meat cutting line. And in 1961, I went to work for the Missouri Air National Guard as a aircraft mechanic. And I worked there and finally got on a flight crew. I was a flight engineer on a Boeing Stratocruiser, which is their designator as a C-97. And we flew all over the world. We went into Vietnam twice and took cargo in and bodies out of the soldiers and the sailors.
Yeah.
They got killed. Took them to Travis Air Base and just north of San Francisco. And then Uncle Sam took those planes away from us. So they added two jet engines. So that was a four piston-driven engines and two jet engines. And they put tanks in them, and we refueled in the air.
Okay.
Best job I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He really got some good pictures.
Mm-hmm.
He really
That's
did.
That's neat.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. My husband before Terry was a pilot and was into multi-engine aircraft and different things like that. So, I miss that. But, well, that's neat. And so then after that, then what did you do after?
After I retired?
Yeah.
I sold insurance for a year, and that was a dud. But they were very nice people that run that place. And then I sold bolts and nuts for a few years, maybe even 10. And then I got out of that deal, too much on the road.
Yeah.
And then I was a service advisor for a Lincoln Mercury dealer in St. Joseph.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
We've had a good life.
That,
I wish we could do it again.
Work three jobs just so I wouldn't have to go to work.
I was just going to ask you. I was just going to ask you if you worked or if you stayed at home, Phyllis, or what you did. So
when I did go to work, well, when I was pregnant the first time, I decided that I needed to, to get a job. But I tried, and they were working me on Saturdays after he came along, and I couldn't take it. I couldn't leave him, so I gave it up and decided to stay home. And Ronnie's right, it was 73, and I decided to, like I said, stay at home to take care of my baby.
Yeah, yep. There's nothing wrong with that, let me tell you. I think there's a lot of parents today that wish that they had the income where one of them could stay at home and be there for the kids.
Yeah, things are just too expensive today.
Yep, that's very true.
Insurance, yep.
So, Ronnie didn't tell us how you guys met. Why don't you tell us how you met?
Okay.
She had a premonition.
I'll try not to keep you too long.
Okay.
My senior year in high school, I had an aunt. Like I said, I never had brothers and sisters, but my mother had a younger sister that was only 15 years older than I was, and she always kind of adopted me. And every summer, she'd always take me on trips and buy me clothes and things, and for two weeks. Well, their job that they had transferred them to Newark, New Jersey, and she had to have surgery. And so she called my mother and said, "Can we fly Phyllis out here to stay with me while I have surgery?" And said that it'd probably be a couple of months. And so mother, of course, said, "Of course, if I wanted to go," and naturally I did. So I went, and my two months were up, and she called my mom for me to fly home. So, and mom said I could. So I flew back to Kansas City, and when I got off at Kansas City, I got on a bus to go to St. Joe. Well, when I did, there was a friend of mine on the bus that I had gone to school with, and he said, "I've been calling you for 2 weeks, and you didn't answer." And I said, "No, I was in Newark, New Jersey." And I said, "What did you want?" And he said, "I have a blind date for you." I said, "I don't go on blind dates." And he said, "Well, this is a special one." He said, "I remember you telling me you wanted to go with someone that had a convertible and also that went to Central High School, because I went to Benton High School, and Central was always supposedly the better school and smarter kids." And he said, "He graduated from Central and has a convertible." And I said, "I'll go." So I got to thinking about it after I told him I'd go. What if he comes after me and I don't like what I see? And of course, he came, and I thought he would do. So anyway, we had that first date, and then he asked me out again. And so when he asked me out the second time, he finally gave me a goodnight kiss. He didn't the first time we went out, because he didn't want to seem too forward. And so he said he waited till the second date. Well, after he kissed me, I said, "That was it." I said, "You've heard of people talking about bells going off." And I said, "Well, they went off." So I said, "You're hooked." I said, "I can't let you go now." So he was hooked.
And come May of 23, We will be married 65 years.
Wow.
Well, good for you guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You don't hear about that. I remember back in the day when Paul Harvey had his Tournament of Roses, and he would always, talking about some people being married for 70 years, 60 years, and all that.
Right. Yeah.
And I always thought that was great.
We always listened to it, too. Yeah. We really did. Yeah, we were always going to ride in and have him do ours, and we never got there.
I know.
Yeah, so anyhow.
Hi, Linda.
So that's our story.
Yeah, well, cool.
Yeah.
That's good. So how did you guys get involved with MCB?
After I, like I said, lost my vision, and I went to that doctor, and he told me I could get it back within a year. I thought, well, I just can't sit around doing nothing. And so
we are on one
I contacted, and I can't think of the name of the group. But anyhow, they told me
they told me
about the Pony Express. And I called. They were at the community center for the aging. And that's when I met Carolyn, who was president for many, many, many years for the Pony Express.
And that, so, that would have been Carolyn Anderson, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So go ahead, Phyllis.
So she was president until she decided it was time to retire, and she turned it over to me. So I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed trying to get programs and tried to work with the police and the firemen and everybody I could. And I called everybody for meetings, and I did enjoy it very much.
Well, that's neat. It sounds like you got involved and met a lot of good people. Mm-hmm. And
yes,
oh, that was the best.
It was.
Meeting all the folks that were blind and visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, good. Chip, do you have any other questions?
Yeah.
I know you do.
Yeah. So, Ronnie, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you now?
86.
86. All right.
And I'm 85.
Okay.
Yeah, this is 85,
and I'm 85.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
And I, Phyllis, I had mentioned that when I was president of MCB from 2000-2004, and I remember when we would have our president's luncheon during the MCB state convention, I was just always so proud of you as president of the Pony Express in St. Joe, because you really seemed to have it all together. And I remember one time that I had pointed you out to the rest of the affiliate presidents that were at the luncheon, and you were really a good example of what it meant and what it takes to be a great affiliate president. And I would just, because you had business cards. Now, because I thought, now who else here today during that luncheon? What other affiliate president would even think about having a business card? But you seem to really have things really on the ball. So I just thought that was really something.
I appreciate that. I sure tried. I tried hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long now has it been since the Pony Express hasn't been around? Do you guys remember when you guys decided to dissolve? How long has it been?
No, I don't. Okay. Well, I
can't remember either.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because you guys were so involved. I mean, excuse me. I know, I got memories, Ronnie, of you being the sergeant of arms during our convention, or leading the Pledge of Allegiance, or being in charge of, you know, all those different kind of things that we did before we actually got underway. So, and then, was there anything that maybe stands out in your mind, Phyllis or Ronnie, about MCB? Because you guys did it all. I mean, you guys were always really good about being at convention, summer camp, whatever it might be. Is there anything that maybe stands out in your mind that you guys really enjoyed?
Well, I liked it because they helped other people in the state of Missouri, whether they were members of MCB or not. I felt that was good. Of course, we picked up a few members that way, but I always thought that was, you know, one of their highlight points, because it didn't matter if you were a member or not, as long as you lived in the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Ronnie?
So I did appreciate it.
Yeah, okay.
Well, anytime we were out buying groceries or whatever, and I'd see somebody with a white cane, I'd go over and talk to them, mm-hmm. and invite them down. Mm-hmm. And we got a lot of members that way. Mm-hmm. We didn't even know there was blind people in St. Joe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 Well, I totally know what you mean.
He was good at that better than I was.
Well, I know one of the things that I was always encouraged by, because I had attended a couple of them, when the Pony Express would get together with allied workers, and I think back there then it might have been Progressive Council, that the three affiliates would get together, yeah, and do different things. I remember coming up to St. Joe from one of those meetings, and you may not remember this, Ronnie and Phyllis, but it might have been during one of our state conventions that we had there. But Ronnie, you had awarded me, and I thought it was so wonderful. And you had awarded me the key to the city. And I still have that key, by the way. It's in my chest of drawers. So I still have that key today. So I thought that was really special. Yeah. Yeah.
I got that from the mayor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is life like now for Ronnie and Phyllis? You talked about living there at the community home. What is life like for the both of you?
Well, I'm really not living. I'm just surviving.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. On my back. It's really terrible. They don't have enough help. Here it is, 20 minutes to 2, and we haven't even had lunch.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just that they don't have enough workers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, this may sound like a stupid question, but I really don't know. So they said that you had fractured some vertebrae in your back.
Yes.
So they will never, ever recover enough so that you can walk? So that's the prognosis?
Well, that's what they're saying. Come around the other side, sweetie.
Okay. All right. I was just kind of curious because...
Hold on and bring it lunch.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and you
at
mentioned...
At long last comes...
Yeah. Sorry. And we're not going to keep you here. But you also mentioned something with your bladder or something, Ronnie, you mentioned to me yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I had a controller
you
in
have
there.
You have to tell me what I got, but...
Wait a minute. You got put my iced tea in that blue cup. And they took it out. Yes. When they took it out, the wires broke off, and they're still in there. Mm-hmm. So they can't give me an MRI because of the metal in the mm-hmm. in those wires.
Mm.
But
you got to be kidding.
They're supposed to give me a whatever it's called, CTI.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, CT scan. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where they don't use the metal.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, I don't know why they haven't done it. I've asked for it more than once.
Mm. Phyllis, did you have anything you wanted to share?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay.
Just
well,
that I've enjoyed it all.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't want to keep you from your lunch. I tell you, I can't express enough how much I appreciate the both of you, you know, letting
we
us do this interview.
We appreciate you thinking of us.
Oh, yeah. Because I have such, and I know many of our listeners do well, I have such fond memories of both of you and the time that you guys were a big, big, big part of MCB. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we could sit here. We could sit here and reminisce about people that we all knew and what we did together and what fun it was.
Hey,
you want to go ahead, Kay.
Well, I was just gonna say, even though I really honestly don't know you, you sound like a couple of people I would love to just be able to have time to just hang out with.
Sorry that I didn't get to meet you, honey. So I do wish you very much luck. Yeah, hang in there.
All right. Hey, it's been a real pleasure talking with you. I want you to know.
Yeah.
Kay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Kay. Yep. Well,
where do you live, Kay?
I'm up in St. Louis.
Oh, I see. Okay, good enough.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ronnie and Phyllis, thank you so much.
I know where Chip lives.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, thank you both
We had a good time when we went to Louisville, didn't we?
Oh, we sure did. There again, that's what I said. Yeah, we have such fond memories. We had great times together. We sure did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
Well,
thank you guys for thinking of us.
You bet. Yep. All right. So, Ronnie, Phyllis, thank you so much for being our special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB. And ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Kay and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or call me, Kay Momquist, at 608-436-2610.
You never know, you might hear yourself next time right here on Meet the People of MCB. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you.